join the orange team and the yellow team. All right, as you can see, we've done a little bit more decorating in here today. And all the time that's gone into both sides, I think we just might leave it up for Thanksgiving. It's kind of harvesty kind of colors, right? I don't know. We'll see about that. Team captains, are you ready? We need to do some scoring here real quick. How many people do you have in attendance for the orange team?
I forgot how many I
have. Okay, we'll try the yellow team.
What is the number? I totally
they both forgot. It's been a long week for both of them.
Thirty-nine
for the orange team. That is times 20,000.
Forty
for the yellow team times 20,000. Okay, I need you to count the Bibles. Count me Bibles. How many Bibles do your teams have here tonight?
We got nine.
Count them up, count them up. I need a number. 74 Bibles for the orange team plus 50,000. 50,000 for the orange team for being first. Yellow team is still counting, probably. 97 Bibles. 97 Bibles for 40 people. It works. It works. Y'all are spiritual. That's what we determined yesterday. Oh, there's a Greek New Testament? Well, we're not even going out. Oh, let's leave that alone. Visitors, if this is your first time here this week, could you please stand? We're going to count visitors real quick. There's three that just walked in. Ba-boom! There we go. Any on the yellow team? Three visitors for the orange team at 100,000 apiece. She's got to be in here. Yeah, yeah. And they're driving a yellow Bobcat, too. It doesn't work. It's not happening. Next. Okay, so now the decorating. We've done some more decorating today. Both teams have been involved on this. Now, tonight, to judge this, remember last night we had Armand? Turn around and say, hi, Armand! Okay, this time, what we're going to do is I'm going to ask the help of those who are watching live stream right now, okay? Now, if you haven't been here at all this week, okay? If you've already been here and you're at home watching, shame on you. You should be here, okay? All right, I'm just saying. But if you haven't been here, you're watching us on live streaming right now, you're going to help us vote for which team did the most decorating. We're looking for the most orange or the most yellow. And this is, in case I didn't say this, this is only for those who haven't been here this week. So when we start singing, Miss Pat, if you could come on up to the piano, okay? As she's coming up, I'll give the final instructions. When we start singing, that is when you folks at home can call into the church, all right? 824-3405. Just call the church main number. We've got someone manning the phone right now. There's two lines. It'll go to one or the other. So if you get a busy signal, call. I feel like I'm doing a telethon here. And we'll send you a prayer card. No. Okay. Just call in. Hey, skip the pleasantries, okay? Don't say, hey, how are you? Oh, I'm fine. How are you? Just skip that, okay? Just say yellow or orange, depending on which one you think has the most color in the room here. And let's see. Or you can submit your vote on our Facebook page. We're live streaming through that right now as well. So you can submit it on our Facebook page. If there's any cheating involved, okay? Any cheating involved, shame on them, okay? The orange represents fire and judgment. Just saying, okay? Okay, so as soon as we start singing, okay, just wait till we start singing, then start calling or post it on Facebook. And when we stop singing, done, right there. It doesn't matter if the phone's ringing. When we stop singing, we're done right there. So let's go ahead and stand and sing our trust song, T-R-U-S-T. One more song. There's someone on the phone right now. Praise the Lord. We have people actually watching our live stream tonight. Oh, that just makes me feel so good. Okay. All right. And if you're watching live stream, in just a moment, we'll have something scroll across the screen to where you can send your donations. No, stop that. Actually, that was suggested to me that we do like an offering online for Bible school as well. But I couldn't figure that one out quick enough. Let's go ahead and sing, "Tis So Sweet to Trust in Jesus." Before I find out what the score or who the winner is tonight, I haven't announced how many points the winner's going to get, so I should probably do that right now. I'm feeling 300,000 points. 300,000 points. Hey, whoever you're on the phone with, voting's done. Hang that phone up. All right, they're going to tabulate the scores up there, and I'll announce that here in just a moment. And I need, for this game, it's called Dizzy Dummy. I need two children, one from each team. One from each team. One child from each team. Okay, here comes Riley. And boom, there he is. Okay, team captains. Oh, and this is an extra special one. So that means whoever wins this, not only do you win 100,000 points for your team, but you get to take this candy bouquet home with you, full of all kinds of healthy chemical food dyes, which we've determined already. So I'm just going to set that right back here. Team captains, you're going to help. Please take a roll of toilet paper. Yeah, go ahead and open it up. Get a piece started off of there so you can unroll it. And Riley, I'm going to have you slide off to the side there just for a moment. All right. Go ahead and stand in front of the table. I'm going to do the same with this team here. There we go. Go ahead and stand in front of the table so everyone can see you. You're going to get wrapped up like a mummy here tonight, okay? So you've got an end started. Riley, I want you to go ahead and take this in your hand, please, okay? And you're going to do the same on your side. I'm going to have to pull the table back a little bit because when I say go, Riley, and what was your name? Betty? Betty? Parker. I was close. Okay. Riley and Parker, when I say go, you're going to hold on to that toilet paper and you're just going to spin around just like this as fast as you can. All right. We're going to Well, hopefully it won't take too long. We'll just see how it goes. All right? I'm on your mark. Get set and go! Yeah! Yeah, look at him go! Look at him go! Keep going! Come on, Orange Team, let me hear you! It broke loose. Go ahead and get his hand right there in his hand. There we go. Oh, yellow team is catching up. I think the yellow team is catching up. There he goes. Woo, this guy is good. Look at him spin. He is fast. Catch up! Go, Riley! They had a breakdown! Yeah, slow and steady over here. Nice and steady. 20,000 points to the yellow team for this cheering! It is so close! Yeah, keep going. Nice and steady. Nice and steady. Here it goes. Here it goes. Nice and even over here. They're almost done. It's really close. Really close. Yellow team! 100,000 points for the yellow team. Okay. Let him get his equilibrium back here. Okay. Nice job, Parker. Man, he was flying. Woo! Yes, we need some parental help getting him back to his seat. Oh, I hadn't even thought about that. Little puke buckets up here for everybody. All right. Hey, was that fun? Was that fun? I'm glad you thought so. We're going to do it again. I need one adult from each team. Was a tie. Nice job, though. Nice job. Go ahead and get another one open. Okay. All right. Are both sides ready? Oh, yeah. Yep. Yeah. She's taking her shoes off, and he's got his Crocs in four-wheel drive. Boom. Okay, on your mark, get set, go. Oh, look at him. He's like an orange blur. Woo! Flying, flying. Oh, they're doing pretty good over here. This is still really close. Really close. Keep going. Easy. Oh, no. Oh, no. They broke down. house again. Who's it going to be? Yellow! 100,000 points for the yellow team. I just want you to notice how neat and tidy toilet paper looks, okay? Bucket. She needs a bucket. No. We got to see you walk down the steps now. 200,000 points if she makes it. No. All right, let's go ahead and slide these tables back out, please. Slide these tables back out. Now, we have something a little bit different tonight, okay? Riley came and asked me about this last night, and sometimes we do a cheer competition between the teams. Well, they have a cheer. She has a cheer that she wants to do, and I said, sure. No? No cheer now? We're done with the cheer. Okay. Orange team has a cheer. Okay, let's do it. Orange team, let me hear your cheer.
Okay, so it goes, orange, orange, we're the team. Orange, orange, living the dream.
All right, orange team, here we go. Let me see you stand up and let's do this. Go. Nice job. Yellow team, do you have something? Go.
Stand up. Repeat me. We are the yellow team, strong and true.
We are the yellow team, strong and true.
We are the yellow team, and we love you.
We are the yellow team, and we love you.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you very much. Okay, now I need for this next game, I need one child from each team that hasn't been up here yet. One child from each team that hasn't been up here yet.
Bride, I need another kid. Bride, let's go, run it, run.
All right, so this game is a little different, okay? And it might be kind of hard. So let's see. Josh, could you hold this for me in front of me?
Absolutely.
Okay. So you're going to put an M&M on this pencil. Okay. You're going to put it right on that pencil. The string is going to go behind your ears like this. And then you're going to lift that M&M up to your mouth and put it in your mouth. Okay. If it drops, lower it back down and start all over again.
Good luck, buddy.
Okay? And we'll see how many you can get in 60 seconds. So we'll have that 60-second timer up on the screen. You can use your hands to put it on the pencil. Right, right. Oh, piece of cake. It's so easy. On your mark. We got that timer ready. Get set and go! Oh, they're trying really hard. We got 17 seconds left. 17 seconds left. Five seconds. And time's up. We are never playing this game again. All right. That was way too hard, wasn't it? Yeah. You can have an M&M if you want. Okay. Good job. Thank you. You can go back and be seated. Oh, no. Wait. I'm going to use you guys. No, I'm not. I need two smaller children, one from each team. Yeah, get them. Come on. Okay. All right. If you could get them the bucket, please, for the offering. This is going to be our first offering tonight. Our first offering for tonight. Yeah, they can start on the floor, okay? And I'm just going to have them walk down the side, okay? We're not going to have them come down the center at all. It's not a race. We're just going to have them walk down the side. And so if you've got an offering, get it over to this side here, okay? Well, I guess it is kind of a race. So you want to help your little guy out by getting your offering down to the side here. Look down at the end of your row, and if it's someone that doesn't look like you can trust them, find a different row, I guess. All right. So those guys are going to walk down to the end of your team and then turn around, and you're going to come back. Now, Kian? Hey, Kian. Woo-hoo. Over here. Yes. Go ahead and start on the floor. Parker, right down there on the floor. And then when I say go, you go as quickly as you can, because when you guys get back, you need to pop a balloon. There will be one right here for you. You can sit on it. You can bite it, whatever you want to do. Arr, like that, right? Okay. Are you guys ready? Are you ready? Captain, you can help him if you want. Yep. On your mark, get set, and go! Sit on that balloon. Pop it. Orange team. All right. And because they were the first ones back, we had someone drop off an offering for Bible school in an envelope here. So we're just going to go ahead and add that to their bucket. If you guys, he's still trying to pop that. If he didn't want it to pop, it would. Grab a pencil. Boom, there we go. Yeah. All right, if you guys could head over there and take care of that for me, because we're going to do a second offering here in a little bit with just a bit of a twist. Now I need one adult from each team, please. One adult from each team. We got David coming down. Do we have any for the orange team? 50,000 points to the yellow team right off the bat. And Tyler.
Come on, David.
Okay, I have four house keys. I'm going to set these on the edge of the table. At the top of each key, there's those holes that you would put through your key ring. I'm setting them over the edge of the table. Now, you're going to take this string, and you see where that tape is on the string? Okay. Your mouth can't come down any farther than that tape, okay? Oh, did I mention that? Yeah. Yeah, so you're going to put that end of the string in your mouth with the paper clip hanging. And you're going to try to capture all four of those keys, and they all have to be on there, okay? We're going to have a 60-second timer as well. Aren't you glad you're leaving tomorrow? Yeah. Okay, so timer's ready. On your mark, get set, and go. Oh, yellow team's got one. Orange team, one. Yellow team with two. They got three. All they need is one more for the yellow team. Orange team has two. One left. One left over here. Yellow team almost got it. Yellow. 100,000 points to the yellow team for that. Okay, let's go ahead and set those keys up again.
You can put that on your resume.
Okay, and then I need another volunteer from each team. One volunteer from each team, same game, different string. Cindy, come on down. No, okay. 50,000 points to the orange team for getting someone up here. Yeah, good, 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 good. So you have a fresh, dry string, okay? Take that, put that in your mouth. Are you ready? Timer's ready. On your mark, get set, and go! One for the yellow team. Both teams have one. Two for the yellow team. Three for the yellow team. Yellow is killing it tonight. Nice job on the games. All right, if we could clear these tables, get everything off of those, and we're going to do another offering. What was the count? 258 for the yellow? 208 and 75 cents for the orange team. And we're going to run this again. Now, this is going to be for 400,000 points right here. 400,000 points. And I'm going to have the captains, if you would. Let's see. Could you write those numbers down? 258 and 208 and 75 cents. Okay, go ahead and just dump that off onto the side here. Okay, here we go again. You're just, oh, yeah. What should I have them do for me tonight? Tiptoe through the tulips. I've got to see you do this. Oh, yeah, with the wrist bent. No, never mind. Yeah, you'll trip and fall. Okay, so I'm going to have you guys go down and touch the back wall and come back, all right? And I'm going to give 100,000 points for the first one that's back. Go! Go! Oh, it's going to be close! It's going to be close! Yellow gets that. Okay, now, I'm going to have you guys do it again. Do it again. Don't dump it. I'm going to have you walk down the side, come up the center, on your mark, get set, and go. Is there anyone else? Last chance. Here it comes. All right, if you guys could take those off to the side and count that, I'm hearing change in there. So now I'm going to need, let's see, two adults from each side. Now, before you jump, okay, there's nothing gross, there's no running, there's no spinning, you're just going to be kind of standing up here. Trust me, I used to be a youth pastor. You can trust me on this. So I need two adults from each team while they're counting. First team that gets two adults up here is going to get 50,000 points. I need two adults from each team. Two adults from each team. And 50,000 to the yellow team. All right. I need one standing down here at this end. All right, and you get to bounce the balls. We're going to give you 60 seconds to see how many you can get into the bucket, okay? 60-second timer. As soon as that's up there, we'll be ready to go. Now, you may be wondering, IdeaCon over here, It says it on the back of your cape. Why are you here? To help pick up the balls, okay? In case they get through the whole bucket and they need more, so you can pick them up and take them back to the bucket. Oh, sure. Yeah, yeah. You can switch if you want. Yeah, at any time. On your mark. Timer's ready. Get set. Go. Yellow team's got one in there. Orange team has, oh, you got to bounce it. Bounce it on the table. Yep, yep, yep. Boy, she's got it. She's got it. Look at this. She's figured it out. Thirty seconds left. Yeah, there it is. She found the sweet spot. Found it. There it is. And they've got it too over here. Oh, that was a twofer. Time's up. Okay, let's stop there. And
like that time or all together?
Oh, what was yours?
That was that time.
147.70 to the orange team for the second offering, and the yellow team's was
356.92.
Offering goes to the yellow team. All right. Go ahead and count the balls in the bucket. Count the balls in the bucket, please, and let me know who had the most balls in the bucket. And if you're not counting, let's go ahead and pick up some of these other ones, because we're out of time, so we're not going to do it again. We're waiting for that. And we still need the score for the decorating. Do we got that ready upstairs? Okay, hold on, hold on. 20 for the yellow team. 15. 100,000 points to the yellow team. Is this going to be on the screen? Is this going to be on the screen? Okay, so let's give it a countdown. The winner for the decorating. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. I meant countdown from 500. He said what? Are we ready? 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Orange team! What did I say for that? 300,000 or 400,000? 300,000 points to the orange team. All right. Now. Hold on, you guys, before you leave. Go ahead and stand in the center, all right? I really appreciate these guys, don't you? They have done a great job all week long. All right. Now, just so you know, the to and the from I left blank. So if you want to, like, just leave them in your car for a week and then give them to your wife. Yeah, right. There it is. Okay. Thank you so much for being a participant. Now, this is our last night. Our last night as well to hear from Brother Tom. So, Tom, if you would come, please. Thank you. Thank you.
see everybody out tonight, and glad this decorating is coming to an end. I don't know how far they would have gotten, and so it all has to come down at some point in time, but it looks great, and appreciate the good spirit and the good competition, and it's just been a really, really good week. And so Deuteronomy chapter number 6 is what we're going to look at tonight, and I want to thank Pastor and Miss McPhillips for letting us come, and we always have a good time coming to Grace Baptist Church, and appreciate you folks too. You guys always treat us so kindly, and we don't take that for granted, and we're very thankful. And if the parking lot dries before Saturday morning, that's when we're going to leave, Saturday morning, and head back to Memphis. And we have about 3 weeks left in Memphis, a commitment we made to our home church. And then we hit the revival trail for a couple weeks. We'll be in Georgia, South Carolina, Pennsylvania, back to Georgia again. And so quite a bit happening this fall, but we're thankful for this opportunity. And I'm glad for a church that is continuing to move forward in spite of all the challenges that we have. You know, it's easy just to say, you know what, well, we're not going to do anything extra or do anything different. But you know what? Hey, just do what you're supposed to do and keep doing it. And I appreciate the leadership you have here at your church. The Bible says in Deuteronomy chapter number 6, in verse number 5, the Bible says it's a familiar verse. Maybe you have it on a wall somewhere. Maybe you've memorized it. The Bible says, "And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes." And verse 9 says, "And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates." When you've been traveling for a while, and maybe you've been away from home with business, a business trip or vacation, and you've been away for several days, the thought that comes to my mind when we come back to our trailer, we don't leave it very often, most of the time we have it with us, but when I come back home, my first thought when I open up the door and put down whatever is in my hands, my first thought may be the same as yours, and I think this: home, sweet home. Doesn't it feel good to come home? Let's bow our heads and pray together. Father, we thank you for your goodness and mercy. And Lord, I thank you that, Lord, all who believe can have forgiveness and eternal life. And Lord, that's not really an intellectual choice as much as it's a spiritual choice. And I pray that, Lord, if there's somebody here that's maybe struggling with that this evening, I pray that you'd help them to get that matter of salvation settled. And it seems like after that, a lot of other things fall into place. And Lord, we read from the scriptures tonight that you gave some specific instructions to the nation of Israel, but it's also mirrored in the New Testament for the Christian home. And I pray that we'd apply those things. And I pray that, Lord, it would make a difference, not in just our generation that's here and now, but in the generations to come. And we thank you for your mercy and thank you for your grace. None of us are deserving of it, but we're sure glad for it. And we thank you for all that you're going to do tonight, in Jesus' name, amen. If I was to ask you this question, you probably maybe have been asked it before. It's not really a hard question, but how many of you would say you're a first-generation Christian? That means your parents weren't Christians. You grew up in a home, and you're the first person to trust Jesus as your Savior to your knowledge. You just slip your hand in there, "I'm a first-generation Christian." Many of you are first-generation Christians. How many of you would say, "I'm a second-generation Christian. I was raised in a Christian home, good Christian home." How many of you say, "That's good, praise the Lord." Third-generation Christian. Third, several in here, third-generation Christians, praise the Lord. That's what I'm shooting for in my home, a lot longer than that. Now, me personally, I'm a first-generation Christian. That means I didn't grow up in a Christian home. And my testimony is pretty simple. I grew up in a home. My mom and dad, they met. I really don't know how they met. And they were expecting a child before they were married, so they did what a lot of people do. They got married and tried to do the right thing, and that marriage didn't last for more than a year. And then my mom and dad separated, and my mom, she stayed in North Carolina, and she raised me, and my dad went back to L.A., not Los Angeles, but lower Alabama. And so he went back to L.A., and it sounds better when you say it that way sometimes. And so my mom, she remarried before I was 2 years old. My dad down in Alabama, he would eventually remarry, and he's still married, and they have a son, so I have a half-brother that's just probably, I don't know, 7 to 10 years younger than I am, and so my mom remarried before I was 2 years old, and so I had no memory or recollection of my biological father, and when I was in kindergarten and first grade and second grade, my name was Thomas Rembert. I was a Rembert. And never even questioned the fact that I was a Rembert. And one day I was sitting at the table with my mom and my stepdad. And I think my half-sister was born. Then my stepdad's name was George. And my mom, she answered the telephone. It rang. And she didn't pull it out of her pocket. It was one of those phones that was still on the wall. You know, you remember when the phone still used to be on the wall? And she walked out of the kitchen into the around the corner, and it had a cord on it. So the cord wrapped around the wall, and she was gone from quite a while. She came back, and she said, "TJ, that's what everybody calls me, and my family is TJ." And she said, "The phone's for you." And I said, "Well, who is it?" She said, "It's your dad." And I said, "Whoa." I mean, I didn't say it audibly, but that's what I said on the inside, you know. And I thought, "Well, this is my dad right here. This is George. This is my dad." And so I found out through that phone call that I had a biological dad that wasn't the dad that I was used to, and I kind of got the whole story and things like that. And boy, it was just kind of an eye-opening, not necessarily earth-shattering, but a wow moment. I met him a couple of months later. They came up and from Alabama, and I got to meet him. And we have a pretty good relationship now. I visited him several times, and he taught me how to fish and hunt and love the outdoors. And so I have a lot of respect and love for my dad. My mom and her second husband, George, a couple years later, and I'm not telling you anything that they wouldn't say, and I have a great respect for all of my parental authorities. And so my mom and George got a divorce, and that was a little rough because my sister and I were young enough to see it and understand, and it was bitter. It was arguing and fighting, and just it was a lot, and we would listen from up the stairs. You know, we would come halfway down the stairs right above the ceiling level, and we would sit and just listen to everything, and we would cry or go back to bed, you know. And so it was hard, but walls began to build up in my heart, and I just thought to myself, I'll never trust another adult again. And so I had my friends, had the wrong kinds of friends. Well, that marriage ended. My mom remarried again to a gentleman named Lee, who I believe genuinely loved my sister and I, and he had a son. And that was really the first time I had some accountability in my life as a teenager. And I feel the way I felt about that is I didn't like having accountability very much. You know, I was used to doing my own thing. And now here's a guy that's really, he cares and telling me what to do. And he was telling me to go to school. Could you believe that? And so I had a real hard time going to school when I was a teenager. And so so that marriage ended a couple of years later. My mom got married the fourth time. After her fourth marriage, it wasn't long after that, then I became a Christian. I heard the gospel for the first time. And I was gloriously saved. I always believed that if I did my best, maybe God would let me in heaven. I didn't disbelieve in God. I believed in a God. And I don't know where that came from. We didn't grow up going to church, but I did believe that there was a God, a higher authority. I believe historically in Jesus. I believe that Jesus died on the cross. I mean, that's history. You can go anywhere and find that. That's real, you know. And so I believed historically, but I always thought if my goods outweighed my bads, then maybe God would let me into heaven. Well, my sister, she ended up getting saved, and she started having a Bible study. And so she invited me to come over, and for the first time I heard a clear presentation of the gospel. That I was a sinner, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I couldn't argue with that one lie. It's just your nature. You have a sin nature, and I was shown that from the Bible, and I said, "Yeah, I see that. I can understand that." And then I was showed that the wages of sin is death. What I deserve because I'm a sinner is death. Now, in the Bible, death doesn't just refer to physical death. It refers to separation from God. Death is separation from God. And because I'm a sinner, I am totally separated from God. And that's bad news. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And I thought, wow, well, that's good. And that makes sense. But I still wasn't saved. And then I learned another verse. I learned the verse in Romans chapter 10. It says, "If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved." Well, saved from what? Saved from eternal separation from God forever and ever and ever. And then just after that passage in Romans 10:13, the Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." And boy, that's when the Holy Spirit, he used the Bible and just got a hold of my heart. Because I believed in God. I believed in a historical Jesus, that he lived and he died, but I had never transferred my dependence or belief off of me and onto him. And it was a couple of weeks after I heard the gospel clearly for the first time, I was in the front seat of my Chevrolet pickup truck, and I bowed my head and trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. And I tell you, it was like the lights came on. And I began to grow. And a preacher told me, he said, "Hey," and I felt like God was changing my desires. I was in construction. I had been in the military. I was making pretty good money for that time. We were building high rises and hotels, and I enjoyed traveling the world. But my desires, as I began to study the Bible and try to apply it to my life, my desires began to change. And boy, I felt God calling me to be a preacher. I didn't really even know what that meant. Here I am. I'm 27 years old. I've lived enough to make a lot of mistakes, and God's changed my life, and God's called me to be a preacher. And another guy came along, and he said, "Hey, you need to pray about going to Bible college." I said, "What in the world is Bible college?" I said, "Is that where you go learn about Noah's Ark and David and Goliath, you know?" I didn't know what seminary was. I didn't know any of those things. And so, short story, the Lord opened up a door for me to go to Bible college. It was Ambassador Baptist College in Shelby, North Carolina. I was not far from there in Charlotte. And so I surrendered my heart to go there and started to learn the Bible and learn how to apply it to my life. And when I went to Bible college, I still didn't want to get married. I did not want to get married because all I had seen from marriage was what my mom went through with her four husbands, and it wasn't all that good. And so I was not in Bible college to get a wife. I was in Bible college to get my Bible education and go out and preach. I did not need a wife, so I thought. But they have a requirement when you take classes at Ambassador. One of the classes you have to take is called Christian Home. And basically you go from Genesis to Revelation, and it looks at God's design for the home. Well, about halfway through that class, I thought, why in the world? This is amazing. This is amazing. I didn't know marriage was supposed to be this way, the way God established it in his Bible. And it wasn't long after that that God really, he answered my prayer. I said, "Lord, I'll marry the girl if you'll just show me who she is." And it wasn't long after that that Sarah Schoenbach, she appeared on my radar. She was a little bit older, and she was coming to college, and she wasn't there my first semester, but, you know, one thing leads to another, and I started to pursue her, and she was very gracious, and I knew right away that it was God's will for us to get married. It took me a little while to convince her that it was God's will to get married, and she still might have her doubts about it now, but it's too late. But I can remember even calling. I don't know if Carl will remember this, but I remember calling the Schoenbach household and talking to her dad and just saying, "Hey, this is kind of what I'm thinking. If it's okay, I'd like to ask your daughter to marry me." And he said, "Sure," you know. And so guess what? We were about to start our Christian home, our home sweet home. And I tell you that testimony because perhaps you're here and maybe that's your desire. You want to have a good home. You want to have a home sweet home. But that matter of salvation, you haven't got it nailed down just yet. And maybe you hope, maybe you're 50%, maybe you're 75% sure you're saved, you're a Christian, but you know what? God wants you to be 100% sure that you're saved, and you're a sinner. You're the Bible says you're separated from God forever and ever and ever, and ultimately that's going to be in a place called hell. Jesus preached more about hell than he did about heaven, but God in his mercy, he's provided a way out, and if you'll just call upon Jesus and you'll confess to him what he already knows, that you're a sinner, and you ask him for forgiveness and eternal life based upon the authority of God's word, guess what he's going to do? He'll save you and he'll give you eternal life. And he'll change your life, and your home will be fresh and anew. But I want to give you something practical to finish out here in Bible school. If you want to secure a heaven on earth, well, Deuteronomy chapter 6 kind of gives us the basis for that. Now, Moses, this is the fifth book of the Bible. It's the last of the what we would refer to historically as the book of Moses. Now, here's a trivia question. Did Moses get to go into the promised land? He did not in this life. In the next life, he did. He appeared on the Mount of Transfiguration, but not in this life. And it was because he failed to lead the nation of Israel. Moses had an anger problem, and it got out of hand. And God said, basically, Moses, you don't have victory over your own anger. You're not going to lead the nation of Israel into the promised land. You can see it, but you're not going to go. So these are some final guidelines. And really, if you could sum up Deuteronomy, I'd sum it up in one word, choice. And God gives instructions and said, you can choose life and blessing, or you can choose death and a curse. And the distinguishing factor was obedience to the word of God. And so with that, let's look at what the Bible says in verse number 1 of chapter 6. Now, these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it. That thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, that that thy days may be prolonged. Verse 3, hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that you may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And so if you want to secure your home sweet home, your heaven on earth, number one, make sure you surrender your heart. Now, that verse in verse number 5, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. You know what that makes life easy for me. Because there's always decisions, and we always have these decisions to make, and sometimes they're harder than others, but there's always a change on the horizon, and sometimes we're a little bit anxious about what to do. Is it time to retire? Is it time to do this? Do I go to college? Do I marry this person? Do I take this job? And really, ultimately, this makes life easy for us, because if I love the Lord my God with all my heart and with all my soul and with all my might, and I make him first, guess what? I am not going to miss the will of God for my life, but he's not going to force his love upon me. It's a function of surrender. And if you want to secure your heaven on earth, you know what you need to do? Surrender your heart. Surrender your heart to the Lord. The Bible says in verse 6, and these words which I command thee this day shall be where? In thine heart. And you know what I'm learning in the Christian life? It's not enough just to have the Bible on the pages between the cover. You know where I need to have the Bible? In my heart. The writer of Proverbs says in Proverbs 4 and verse 23, to keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And surrender your heart to the Lord and guard your heart. Have you ever thought about this? If you don't control your influences, you know what's going to happen? Your influences are going to control you. So control your influences. Control what comes in. I don't watch a whole lot of news. I read news, but I don't watch any kind of news on the right side or the left side or down the middle, because usually there's a narrative and usually there's bias on both sides. And what I find, they're hypercritical in a negative way, and it may not affect you, but can I tell you, it affects me. And I become that way, and so I guard my heart. I don't look at any of them. And so if you want to secure heaven on earth, surrender your heart to God, essentially and specifically the word of God. Okay, verse number 7. The Bible says, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children. Now, whose job is it to teach children the Bible and theology and all about God? Is it the parents or is it the church? Yes, it's both. And what my children are learning at church ought to be an extension of what I am exemplifying and displaying and teaching at home and vice versa, but don't take away the parental authority. It's the parents' job to know and study the Bible and to teach it to their children. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And so number one, you surrender your heart. And number two, you saturate your head. When do you have your devotions? Somebody asked me, do you have your devotions every morning, at lunchtime? Family, every day I have my devotions before my family wakes up with a cup of coffee. I'll spend time in the Bible and spend enough time to get something from the Bible and enjoy a cup of coffee and to spend a season of prayer. But when it comes to family devotions, in our family, we don't have a set time. Somebody went, oh, you don't have a set time? No, I don't. And maybe your home's not crazy busy, but ours is. And I'm not making excuses, but the Bible doesn't say here to have a set time to teach your children. It says teach your children when? All the time. Take a word. Take something that is an event of the day, something, and maybe at the dinner table or maybe for breakfast, you say, hey, this is something that the Lord is teaching me in my devotions, and this is something that I'm learning, or this is something I messed up on today. And guess what? Your kids need to see that we're sinners that need the grace of God just as much as anybody else. And so when do you have your family devotions? Can I tell you, just do it all the time. Whenever you get the chance, when the Bible says, thou shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And so you surrender your heart to the Word of God, and you saturate your head with the Word of God. Somebody says, Brother Thomas, that sounds like brainwashing. Can I tell you, most of you need your brains to be washed with all the stuff that's going into our minds. And you can control your influences, or your influences are going to control you. And so this is super practical. And so you saturate your mind with the Word of God. If I struggled with fear, I'm talking about real fear, whether it's cancer or coronavirus or going to war or the economy or something. If I struggled with fear, I would memorize a verse on fear like Proverbs 29:25, where the Bible says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You know what that is? That's saturating your head with the Word of God. If I struggled with anxiety, maybe I would memorize a verse like Isaiah 26 in verse 3. That will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. And that's how you saturate your head with the Word of God. If I had a problem with lying or dishonesty, I would remember, thou shalt not bear false witness. If I had struggles with doubt, maybe about my salvation, I would memorize John chapter 5, verses 12 through 13, where the Bible says, he that hath the Son, hath life, and he that hath not the Son hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, so that ye may know that ye have eternal life. You know what that is? That's saturating your head with the Word of God. If you don't control the influences in your life, then the influences in your life are going to control you. And so I'd rather have the control rather than them have the control. So saturate your head with the Word of God. And so back to the passage, the Bible says in verse 8, thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as frontlets between thine eyes. It's interesting, when Sarah and I were in Israel, there are still people, I guess they're Pharisees, they look like Pharisees, they wear clothing like the Pharisees do, and they would have phylacteries. It's a little wooden box that they would strap with a leather strap to their head. And you know what was in that little box? A little copy of a Hebrew scripture. And so they would have an armband they would put around their right arm. And it also had a little box, a phylactery, they call it. And in it had a Hebrew scripture. And what they were doing really is taking this verse literally and putting the Word of God as a focal point here and here. And it was quite amazing. But they're so blind because they're looking for Messiah to come. But we know that he's already came. But it's interesting. Verse number 9, the Bible says this. And thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gate. So, number one, surrender your what? Your heart. Number two, saturate your what? Your head. Number three, surround your home with the Word of God. It says, thou shalt write them upon the post of thy house and on thy gates. And so an Israelite family, every time they would come in and out of their home, you know what they would see? The Bible. The Bible on the doorpost and the Bible on the lintel. And so it was a constant reminder of God's provision for them in their lives. It's interesting. You can tell what somebody loves just by being in their home for a few moments. If I go into somebody's house and I see a lot of big bucks on the wall, you know, the heads and the antlers, you know, some 14 pointers and 15 pointers, you know, I get a little bit envious, number one, because I couldn't hang one of those on my wall in my RV, and I haven't earned one of those yet either. But, you know, maybe you'll see a largemouth bass or a marlin. I've been in some places where there's a huge, you know, blue marlin on the wall. Somebody caught that, you know, and paid to have it taxidermied. And so it's amazing. But you can tell what somebody loves by what you see on the walls of their homes. And somebody like that, they love what? They love the outdoors. I love going into people's homes, and I like to look at pictures on the walls, pictures of family, of cousins and of kids and grandkids. I especially love to go into a home, and some of you seasoned saints, you know, that have been married for a while, I love to see those old wedding pictures. And boy, those are really neat to look at. But when you go into somebody's home and you see pictures of the family all over the walls, you know that they what? They love their family. There's some people that are sports nuts. And boy, they have sports memorabilia all over, you know, whether it's football or baseball or basketball or all the above. And some people, their living room is like a shrine to a pro football team or a baseball team. But it's just an indicator. You know what that person loves by what's on their what? On their walls. You know what I like the most? When I go into somebody's home and the Bible's all over the walls. Maybe there's a verse here. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Or maybe over here they have a little plaque that says we walk by faith and not by sight. Or maybe they'll have that, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. And you know what? It's a fulfillment of this principle. You surrender your heart to the Word of God. You saturate your head with the Word of God. And then you surround your home with the Word of God. You put it up everywhere as a constant reminder. And you know what that shows that you love? That you love the Lord. Now, I'm not saying you don't love the Lord if you don't have scripture verses on your walls. But it's a good principle. You ought to put the Bible on the walls, put it on the mirror, put it on the refrigerator, put it everywhere, and saturate your head and surround your home with the Word of God. And verse number 10, the Bible says, it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into a land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full. Verse 12, a solemn warning, then beware lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And so number one, and we're finishing. Number one is surrender your heart to the Word, to the Lord. Number two is saturate your head, think scripturally and biblically, and brainwash your mind with the Word of God. Number three, surround your home with the Word of God. And you know what happens? Number four, you know what happens? You secure your heaven on earth. Home, sweet home. Take your Bibles. Let's look at one more place, Deuteronomy 11. Deuteronomy 11. Basically, Moses is repeating what he says already in Deuteronomy chapter number 6. And the Bible says in Deuteronomy 11, verse 18, the Bible says, "Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your head, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes." Verse 19, "And ye shall teach them to your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up, and thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates." Verse 21, "That your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give them, as the days of heaven upon the earth." Boy, that it just tells us how to secure your heaven on earth. And what I do with the Word of God, a lot of times will determine what God does with me. And if I elevate the Bible, if I love the Bible, if I learn the Bible, and if I live the Bible, and I teach it to my children, and it's interesting, God's not just concerned about this generation that's alive right now. You know who He's concerned about? This generation, and the next generation, and the next generation. And if I don't pass what I know, my spiritual heritage, down to my children, and they pass it down to their children, then I feel like I'm a failure. My job is to teach them, surround my home, saturate my head, surrender my heart to the Word of God, and then I can secure my heaven on earth. And it makes it real simple. We make it complicated. Will you bow your heads with me, please? We'll pray. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, we will just pray in just a moment. But you're here tonight and you say, "Brother Thomas, I've never been saved. I know I need to be saved. I've never been saved, but tonight I'd like to be saved. I'd like to call upon Jesus to be my Savior. I've never done that before, but I'd like to get that settled tonight. I'd like to pray for you in just a moment. You just lift your hand in the air. I won't embarrass you. Nobody's looking around. The pastor's here, but nobody's looking around. You say, I need to take Jesus and accept Him and trust Him as Savior, and tonight I need to be saved. Would you pray for me, Brother Thomas?" Just slip your hand in the air. Slip your hand in the air and hold it up just for a moment and put it right back down, and I'll remember you in prayer. Okay, parents. You'd say, "Boy, I'd like to secure my heaven on earth." And God showed me it's my responsibility to control my thinking, control my influence, control my attitude, and saturate my head and surround my home with the Word of God. And you would say, with God's help, I am going to secure my heaven on earth, my home. Would you just slip your hand in here and say, "Preacher, would you pray with me and pray for me?" You'd say, "I want to secure my heaven on earth. There's some things I need to focus and settle on and do and make that happen." It's a choice. You choose life or you choose death. You choose blessing or you choose cursing. Thank you. You can put your hands down. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for your goodness. And Lord, I thank you that any of us, no matter our education or financial status or our background, Lord, if we'll apply these truths to our lives, then we can secure our heaven on earth. And Lord, our country, our cities, our towns are places of such unrest right now. Our homes ought to be our sanctuaries, places that we can go, our respite, our oasis in this desert. And I pray that, Lord, you'd help us. Help us to surrender our hearts. Help us to saturate our heads and help us to surround our homes with the Word of God. And I pray that, Lord, it would impact our generation and our children and our children's children and so on until you return. And I pray that you continue to be gracious and give us wisdom in these days, I pray. And I thank you in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen. Thank you, Pastor.